flirting with me, ever.
Ah, we're back to that again. Ever's a long time. I finally abandoned my post in the doorway and entered the studio. Also, I wasn't flirting. I was telling the truth.
Two,
she continued, ignoring me.
Don't call me darling.
What about Honeybun?
No.
Madam?
No.
Tinkerbell?
Only if you want me to kick you in the Tinkerbell between your legs.
A burst of laughter erupted from my chest. Here I thought ballerinas were supposed to be soft and elegant.
Oh, we are.
Scarlet cocked an eyebrow.
We're also, pound for pound, some of the strongest athletes in the world. So believe me when I say I will kick you and it will hurt.
I believe you. I couldn't stop smiling. No flirting, no darling. Understood. Our repartee died down when Vincent showed up a minute later. Typical. He always ruined things. However, Scarlet's warning from our last session was fresh in my mind. So I kept my mouth shut and ignored him the best I could. That probably wasn't what Coach had in mind when he forced us to train together, but he wasn't here. What he didn't know wouldn't hurt him. We didn't have much time for bonding, regardless. People underestimated the rigor of ballet because it looked so ethereal. But in reality, the training was brutal, and we were still in the beginner stage. Scarlett's delicate appearance was a red herring. She ran her studio like a bloody drill sergeant. Even Coach would be impressed.
1, 2, 3, 4, repeat. 2, 3, 4, good, again,
Scarlett stopped short, the color draining from her face. Vincent and I faltered. Are you okay? I asked at the same time he said. Is it...
No, I'm okay.
She flashed a tight smile.
I just have to... use the loo. Keep going, I'll be right back.
My gaze followed her out of the room. Her walk seemed off, like she was favoring one leg over the other. But that might have been a trick of the eye. She's fine. She had no reason to lie. And even if she wasn't feeling well, she was capable of taking care of herself. So why did I feel worried? Don't even think about it. Vincent's sharp tone brought my attention back to him. I saw the way you were looking at her, he said, when I raised a questioning brow. Touch my sister, and you're dead. Drop the overprotective brother bit, Dubois. It's cliché. I'm just giving you a friendly warning. There wasn't an ounce of friendliness in his expression. Scarlet is off limits. Scarlet can speak for herself. Yes, but she's too nice to creeps who want to take advantage. I wasn't sure if we'd met the same Scarlet, since the one I knew seemed perfectly content putting me in my place. I didn't bother acknowledging the creeps who want to take advantage part of his comment. I knew my intentions and boundaries. Vincent could think whatever the hell he liked. Not that you'd succeed even if you tried getting with her. She won't date a footballer again. Vincent shrugged. Tough luck. Again? Which player had she dated before? How long had they dated? Was it an old fling or recent breakup? I tapped down the irrational desire to grill him about her ex. I wouldn't give him the satisfaction. Scarlet returned, cutting our conversation short. Some of the color had returned to her cheeks, but her voice lacked the strength from the first half of our session. Vincent said something in French. She responded in kind and gave him a pointed look. Whatever he was saying, she didn't want him saying it in front of me, even if it was in another language. We were nearly finished with the session when his phone went off. I know, I'm sorry. He jogged to his duffel bag in the corner. But that's Dad's emergency ringtone. Scarlett's frown melted into visible worry as Vincent picked up. He listened and said a few brusque words in French before ending the call.
What happened?
She asked. Dad had an accident. More rapid-fire French, followed by a nod from Scarlett and a sideways glare from Vincent. What the hell did I do?
I'm sorry about the interruption,
Scarlett said as Vincent shouldered his bag.
This is highly unusual, but...
It's fine. I get it. We only had 10 minutes left of training anyway, and my muscles could use an early break. Is your dad okay?
I think so. Vincent's going to deal with it. Dad's particular about the people who handle his personal affairs.
I'll call you later with an update. Vincent pinned me with a hard stare on his way out. Remember what I said earlier. The Nobel Peace Prize Committee should note that I chose the high road and didn't respond with snark. His father was injured, after all. I wasn't a monster.
Apologies again.
Scarlet smoothed an unsteady hand over her bun.
This is only our second session, so I don't want to give the wrong impression. There's usually never this many disruptions.
By disruptions, you mean using the loo and a family emergency? I leaned against the bar and crossed my arms. How unprofessional. You should quit now. Her mouth twitched.
When you put it that way, I guess it's not so bad.
It never is. Thunder boomed in the distance and drew our startled gazes to the window. I'd been so caught up in what was happening in the studio that I hadn't noticed the transition from beautiful spring afternoon to raging storm. Don't tell me you're taking the tube in this weather, I said as Scarlett packed up her belongings. It was a 15-minute walk to the nearest tube station, and it sounded like the apocalypse out there.
People take the tube when it's raining all the time.
Only when they don't have another choice. Let me drive you home. I followed her out the door and down the hall. Karina left early, so you don't have to wait for her. Scarlett slid a glance my way.
Are you stalking her?
I ran into her on my way to the studio. She told me she had a doctor's appointment this afternoon.
Why would she... Never mind.
Scarlett shook her head.
She's the queen of oversharing.
Think about it, I said as we neared the exit. Would you rather ride the tube with a bunch of wet, grumpy commuters or enjoy the passenger seat of a brand new Mercedes?
The tube. I've heard stories about the way you drive, and I want no part in it.
I should let it go. I shouldn't even be talking to her outside training. No distractions and all that. But she had a way of making me forget reason. It's a saloon car, not a sports car. The Mercedes was my anti-paparazzi decoy. I won't go a single mile over the speed limit, I promise.
No thanks.
Scarlett opened the door.
I'll take my...
Asher! Asher, is this your new girlfriend? How'd you feel about losing the league during your first season with Blackcastle? Is it true you and Vincent are training together this summer? An onslaught of questions and camera flashes exploded like a bomb amidst RAB's otherwise tranquil sanctuary. Paparazzi swamped us, their raincoats slick with water, the cameras shoved in our faces as I was stunned into momentary silence. How the hell did they find me? Everyone at RAB had to sign NDAs, and I was always careful driving from my house to the school. Most importantly, how the hell did they get past the security gates?
Did you see people abandoning your shirts in Holchester? How did it feel to be hated by the fans that used to love you?
The clamor escalated. With their hoods up and giant black lenses obscuring their faces, they resembled a pack of vultures frothing for scraps. My heart rate ratcheted up. The shouts and flashes blurred into white noise, while my gut twisted with familiar overwhelm. I didn't hate the media per se. We had a symbiotic relationship, but only when the engagement was mutual. I hated this. The ambushes, the invasions of privacy, the gross attempts at getting a rise out of me so they could sell my reaction for a buck. That was why I refused to give them one. The rain fell in fat, heavy drops, soaking me to the bone. Claps of thunder rolled overhead and added to the chaos as I recovered my faculties and tried to push my way through the crowd. I'd worry about how they found me later. Right now, I needed to get to my car and get us the hell out of here. Us. Scarlet. I turned, my heart giving a panicked thump when I saw her frozen at the top of the steps, her eyes wide and her face pale. I'd assumed she was right behind me, but she appeared to be in shock. One of the paps said something that got lost in the storm and grabbed her arm. A switch flipped, and my determination to keep my mouth shut washed away beneath a haze of red.
Hey!
I doubled back and shoved him off her.
Don't touch her!
The camera flashes burst into a fresh frenzy.
Are you sleeping together? Is she a trainer? What's your relationship? Asher! Asher!
My voice and the renewed shouts shook Scarlett out of her stupor. She grabbed my outstretched hand and ran with me to my car. I barreled through the paparazzi without care, and we somehow made it to my car without further incident. She gave me her address, but neither of us spoke again until I'd cleared RAB's grounds, and the cameras were a distant horde. Are you okay? I asked. That seemed to be the question of the day.
Yeah, I just...
Scarlet blinked, lingering traces of shock evident in the tremor of her words.
Is it always like that for you?
Not always, but most of the time. It was one of the many reasons I didn't date. Any relationship would crumble beneath the combined weight of my football obligations, public scrutiny, and intrusive paparazzi. Everyone wanted to date a celebrity, until they came home one day to find people rummaging through their trash for pay dirt.
God.
Scarlett slumped in her seat.
How did they find you?
Either someone broke their NDA, or they tailed me from my house and I didn't notice. I needed to call my publicist and see if she could deal with the photos before they got published. Paparazzi often played fast and loose with the rules, but Sloane had a history of bending them to her will. I didn't want Scarlett to deal with the absolute mess that would occur if her face got splashed all over the tabloids.
Thank you for helping me back there,
she said quietly.
You didn't have to do that. They probably got a money shot of you pushing that guy.
He deserved it. My muscles coiled again at the memory of that asshole's hands on her. He shouldn't have touched you. Scarlett swallowed hard. I'm surprised you haven't had similar run-ins before, I said after another bout of silence. Because of your brother.
He keeps me shielded from that kind of stuff. Besides, he lives in Paris during the off-season, and when he is here, we hang out at each other's houses, not in public.
So you two are close?
Yes. We grew up in different cities, but we talked often. I didn't have a lot of friends as a kid because of my ballet schedule, and he had the same issue because of football. We were the closest the other had to a confidant.
It was weird. The topic of Vincent usually aggravated me, but I could listen to Scarlett talk all day and not get tired. Then again, it had less to do with the subject and more to do with her. She was so reserved that any glimpses into her personal life fascinated me. I stopped at a red light and glanced over at her. Scarlett stared straight ahead, her brows knitted together in thought. I read people pretty well, but she could be contemplating my words, her life, or what she wanted for dinner. I had no idea. My gaze traced the elegant curve of her profile, searching for something I couldn't name. Water droplets clung to her lashes and coated the strands of hair slicked back into a dancer's bun. The elegant slope of her nose gave way to a lush mouth and delicate chin, both of which firmed into a stubborn line.
Stop doing that,
she said without looking at me. Doing what?
Staring at me.
Training's going to be difficult if I'm not allowed to look at you.
Looking at me for training is fine. Staring at me like this is not.
She finally tore her eyes away from the road to gesture between us. How exactly am I looking at you? I asked, amused.
Like you.
Scarlet faltered, and the air suddenly condensed into something thicker, almost tangible. Her eyes didn't quite meet mine, but the steady drip, drip, drip of water against the windows matched the spike in my pulse. Like I what? The question floated between us, soft enough not to disturb the tension coating the interior of the car. Her lips parted for a breath before she lifted her chin, her face hardening.
Like you're flirting with me. That's not allowed, remember? It's one of the rules.
Do you have many of those?
What?
Rules.
I'm a ballerina. I live by rules.
That's too bad. The light finally turned green, and I broke eye contact to focus on the road. You'd have more fun without them. Scarlett's gaze warmed my cheek before she, too, faced forward again. The tension didn't dissipate in the resulting silence so much as rearrange itself, charging the air with a steady hum, making me hyper-aware of her presence, even when I wasn't looking directly at her. The subtle shift of her leg, the dip of her chin, the shallow rise and fall of her chest. Fuck. My fingers tightened around the steering wheel. The 20-minute drive to Scarlett's flat seemed both far too long and far too short. And when she finally climbed out of the car with a murmured, thanks, I couldn't muster more than a nod. I waited until she made it safely inside before I drove away, but the scent of her lingered. Scarlett is off limits. Vincent's warning echoed in my head. I was inclined to heed it, not because I was afraid of him, but because I was afraid of what getting close to Scarlett might do to me if I didn't.
Chapter 6. Scarlet.
Who drove you home?
What makes you think someone drove me home? I unpacked our Chinese takeaway and avoided my brother's eyes. I always take the tube. It wasn't Thursday, but he showed up at my flat an hour ago after he finished dealing with our father's situation. I took one look at his face, let him in, and ordered us food. Sometimes sibling intuition trumped explanations.
It's a long walk to the tube station, and you don't have an umbrella drying in the hall. Therefore, you didn't take the tube.
Vincent shrugged. We were seated at my kitchen table in our usual spots. Me next to the window, him next to the fridge.
Elementary, my dear Watson.
Wow, I have Sherlock Holmes in my kitchen. Someone call BBC One and tell them they need another reboot.
Ha ha.
Vincent snagged a spring roll from its container.
It wasn't Karina, was it? Because I haven't forgotten the time she drove my Lambo into the curb.
She's apologized multiple times for that, I said, suppressing a laugh at the memory of Vincent's face when he saw the scratch on his precious car. Karina was like a second sister to him, which was the only reason he'd let her behind the wheel. And no, it wasn't her. It was someone else from the academy. Asher was training there, and therefore a temporary member of the academy, so I wasn't lying. Technically. I hadn't wanted to get into a car with him. I didn't deal well with new-to-me drivers after the accident, which was why I rarely took taxis. But the paparazzi ambush had left me no choice.
So it's another staff member.
For some reason, Vincent looked relieved. Maybe a paranoid part of him had feared Asher was the one who drove me home.
Good.
I didn't correct him and proved his paranoia right. Looking back, I should have been terrified given Asher's reputation for reckless driving. However, he'd driven safe and slow, and our conversation had kept me from spiraling. For someone whose mere presence put me on edge, he had a way of also easing my anxiety, namely by distracting me so much I didn't have time to think about anything else. A twist of unease tightened inside me. I didn't like my contradictory reactions to Asher. I preferred to sort my emotions into separate boxes, black and white, good and bad, alphabetized and color-coded. But when I looked at him, I was a muddled canvas of gray. I hated gray. So, are we going to talk about what happened? I asked, switching subjects. Asher and I hadn't done anything wrong, but I didn't want Vincent to freak out and go on a tangent about me consorting with the enemy. How's Dad? All I knew was he'd had an accident. He had a lot of those, now that he was retired and constantly puttering around. But they usually involved him hitting his head or slamming the door on his hand. Nevertheless, he made it sound like he was dying every time. Vincent wasn't the only drama queen in the family. Still, he was our father, so it was our duty to check in anyway, hence why Vincent gave him an emergency ringtone.
He fell and broke his hip. He's fine,
he said when I opened my mouth.
He doesn't need surgery, but he asked me to come home and stay with him until the season starts so he's fully healed.
I narrowed my eyes as Vincent wolfed down his spring roll. You can't hire a home nurse. It has to be you, specifically.
I did hire a nurse, which is why he wants me to stay with him. You know he hates being alone with strangers.
Fair enough, but Vince, you can't even make a proper bowl of soup. What are you going to do while you're there? I couldn't picture my wonderful, athletic, yet deeply out-of-touch brother taking care of anything that didn't involve a football, a video game, or a party.
Good thing soup has nothing to do with it,
he countered.
I just have to keep Dad company and make him feel better about having the nurse around 24/7. If I'm not there, he's liable to drive her to murder.
How long will recovery take?
It's hard to say. The doctors estimate anywhere from 3 to 4 months.
I studied him with a hint of suspicion. You're not doing this to get out of training with Asher, are you?
Of course not,
he snapped.
Trust me, Letty, I'd rather stay in London. I don't want you dealing with Asher alone, especially when he...
I stiffened. Especially when he what? He knows about the ride home. He knows Asher has been flirting with you, and despite what you say, a part of you likes it.
Especially when he's such a dick.
Vincent said after a beat of hesitation.
Don't fall for the charmer act he puts on with girls. It's just that, an act. I've seen it a million times. We should have never signed him.
He added with a grumble.
You see how he is. He's more trouble than he's worth.
Relief loosened the knot in my lungs. He doesn't know. I'm not stupid. Besides, I have a strict no-footballer rule. Asher Donovan is not on my romantic radar, and he never will be. Attraction didn't count as romance. That was an involuntary hormonal thing. My body may not agree, but my brain was firmly on board and my heart was safely locked away. However, a seed of guilt remained lodged in my chest. No matter how I rationalized the car ride, it felt like a betrayal. And I hated doing anything that might jeopardize my relationship with Vincent. Besides Karina, he was the only person I fully trusted.
Good.
Despite his response, Vincent's frown deepened.
On second thought, maybe I can talk to Dad and convince him his home nurse won't. I don't know, stab him in his sleep when I'm not there. I can be here during the week for training and take the train to Paris on the weekends. The more I think about it, the more I don't fucking trust Donovan.
That's ridiculous. You're going to travel to Paris every weekend. I shook my head. There's no convincing Dad. He'll lose his shit and you know it.
But...
Stop treating me like a kid. I pointed my fork at him. I'll be fine. Anyway, didn't the boss make you guys train with me because he wanted you to work together? If you're not here, that defeats the purpose. There's a good chance he'll call off the program altogether and Asher can go back to training on his own. Vincent stared at me for a long beat before his shoulders relaxed.
You're right.
Relief shrouded his words.
If the boss okays my leave, which he basically has to, he's not going to make Donovan stay with you. It would be stupid.
I hoped that was the case. Otherwise, it meant Asher and I would be forced into one-on-one lessons 3 times a week, every week, for the remainder of the summer. An errant flutter disrupted my stomach. Disappointment or anticipation? I couldn't tell, which was alarming. Exactly. I hoped I sounded confident and not like I was trying to reassure myself. There's no way he would do that. The sessions continue. I've already spoken to Frank. Vincent's absence doesn't change anything for you and Asher. Lavinia said, seemingly oblivious or indifferent to my squeak of surprise. Vincent was leaving for Paris tomorrow with the boss's permission. Frank was probably suspicious of his conveniently timed family emergency, but there wasn't much he could do about it. My brother was officially off the hook for our trainings. I'd requested a meeting with Lavinia that morning to see if his departure would affect my summer obligations. Apparently, it didn't. I don't understand. A swirl of anxiety pooled in my gut. The goal of the sessions was for Vincent and Asher to learn how to work together. If Vincent isn't here, then... That was one of the goals. However, they still need to train like normal athletes. We've already signed a contract with Black Castle, and they've paid through the summer. There's no use undoing all of that simply because of one departure. Right. I forced a smile. Damn contracts. That means you'll be working with Asher one-on-one. Lavinia peered at me over the rim of her glasses. Will that be a problem? No, of course not. Personal sessions with Asher. That was fine. Totally fine. Did Vincent know? He'd left our dinner convinced that the boss would cut the training program short. If he didn't, he was going to be livid when he found out. But he couldn't do anything about it at this point. There was no way our father would let him come back until the nurse was out of his house. Like it or not, I was stuck with Asher for the rest of the summer. Is there something else you'd like to discuss? Lavinia asked pointedly. My no reached the tip of my tongue just as my eyes rested on the photo behind Lavinia. It featured the cast after last year's staff showcase. Every instructor was present except for me and Barden, who'd been on his honeymoon. Which role are you auditioning for? I'd love to see you on stage. A shard of ice pierced my gut. I'd lied about being too busy for the showcase. The truth was, I missed being on stage. I missed the glide of smooth wood beneath my feet, the pulse-pounding crescendos during pivotal scenes, the feeling of transcendence when it was just me and the music. When I was on stage, I didn't overthink, I simply moved. But my desire to perform again didn't outweigh my fears. I hadn't truly danced on stage in 5 years. If I tried, would I aggravate old wounds or, worse, fail altogether? Scarlett Dupont. She was the next big star, now look at her. She can't even audition for a school showcase. The shard of ice slid deeper behind my ribcage. No, I said in response to Lavinia's question. Nothing else. I left her office and shook my head at Karina's questioning stare. I'd explain things to her later. For the rest of the day, I attempted not to think about Asher or the showcase. Instead, I answered Emma's questions about how to prep for a big show, listened to Karina regale me with wild tales about the students' parents over lunch. Dance moms were a terrifying breed. Checked in with my father during a break and ignored my mother's voicemail about setting me up on a blind date. Scarlet love, call me back when you get the chance, she said. I have the most marvelous prospect for you. He's a res-
You changed your outfit.
My phone slipped out of my hand and clattered to the studio floor. Jesus! Don't sneak up on people like that. Asher leaned against the doorframe, the picture of effortless devastation in jeans and a grey shirt. Oh, how was it possible for someone to look that good in such a basic outfit? I frowned, irrationally annoyed. God definitely had favourites, and Asher was one of them.
I didn't sneak up on you.
He said, laughter colouring his voice.
You were just too busy to notice me.
I swiped my phone off the floor. At least my mother's voicemail had ended, so he didn't have to overhear whatever scheme she'd concocted to liven up my tragically non-existent love life. What are you doing here anyway? I asked. We don't have anything scheduled today. It was Thursday, and our sessions were every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Asher offered a casual shrug.
I was in the area and thought I'd drop by.
For?
No reason, just felt like it.
You're telling me the Asher Donovan has nothing better to do with his time than drop by a ballet academy? A shadow flickered in those crystalline green eyes.
I have other things I could do,
he said.
I wouldn't say they're better.
Warm air breezed through the open windows and brushed the nape of my neck. It travelled the length of my spine, all the way down to my toes, making my skin tingle from the inside out. Then Asher blinked, and the moment dissolved like honey in a sun-kissed ocean.
Actually, I did have something to tell you,
he said.
I spoke with my publicist. She took care of the paparazzi from yesterday. They were trespassing on private property, and we were able to scare them into agreeing not to publish any of the photos.
Oh. I scrambled to orient myself to his crisp new tone. It was like he'd flipped the switch from playful to professional. That's good. Do you know how they found you?
They followed Vincent.
His features tautened.
It's not hard to spot that ridiculous orange Lamborghini of his.
I resisted pointing out that Asher owned his fair share of ridiculous sports cars. Football World did a whole feature on his multi-million dollar collection. He didn't mention them when we talked yesterday. I'd been so distracted by our father's accident that I hadn't asked Vincent whether he'd run into paparazzi on his way out. He would have if he'd seen them.
I think they were still hiding when he left, but found a way to sneak in afterward.
Asher examined me, his eyes inscrutable compared to their earlier warmth.
I heard he's going back to Paris for the summer.
Yes, to take care of our father. An ache settled into my knee joints.
So training will be just the two of us going forward?
I shifted my weight, hoping to ease the pressure. It didn't work. That's what Lavinia said. There's no point complicating things when Black Castle already paid for the summer.
I suppose you're right.
Asher didn't move from his spot in the doorway. His response was cooler than I'd expected, which was a good thing. I was the one who'd established our no flirting rule. I couldn't get mad at him for following it. The ache shot up my thigh to my hips. I sucked in a short breath and exhaled, Asher's curious change in attitude forgotten. I'd gone months without a flare-up, but the past week had been a nightmare. Stress, hormones, weather changes. There wasn't always a rhyme or reason to my pain. Before I could muster a reply, he suddenly straightened and jerked his head to the left.
Hey.
Suspicion serrated his voice.
Do you work here?
I didn't hear a response, but a second later, pounding footsteps echoed through the hall. Asher took off after them, and I instinctively followed despite my body's scream of protest. My pulse rocketed with trepidation. Was it the Paps again? That was the only reason I could think of for his reaction. If it was, how did they get inside the school when security was already on alert from the first incident? I rushed into the corridor, but in my haste, I banged my hip against the doorframe. Most people could easily shake off the hit, but for me, in my current state, it was the equivalent of a bomb going off inside me. A cry of pain escaped before I could stop it. Asher halted his chase and whirled around. Worry seeped into the planes of his face.
Scarlet.
His voice sounded far off, like I was sinking, underwater, while he watched from the shore. Blood roared in my ears. The hall tilted as every ounce of attention coalesced around my legs, and the ache throbbed with the force of a sledgehammer battering its way through a wall. Breathe. In, one, two, three, out, one. Another lightning bolt of agony ripped through me, so sharp and excruciating it felt like someone was tearing me in half from the inside out. If my earlier ache was a hammer, this was 1,000 spikes piercing the most tender points of my body. My vision filled with static, and I maintained lucidity just long enough to see Asher sprint toward me before the ground rushed up and everything turned black. Chapter 7 Scarlet. Everything hurt. My bones, my joints, the simple act of breathing. Every drag of air resembled a steel claw raking through my lungs, making me wish for oblivion again. I was dimly aware that I should open my eyes and take stock of my surroundings. It didn't smell right. Instead of lemony cleaner or lavender diffuser, I detected antiseptic and aftershave? Something spicy with a hint of citrus. So, I wasn't in the studio or my bedroom. Where the hell am I? Hopefully not some random one-night stand's house. One-night stands were never a good idea, even if they smelled delicious.
Need anything else? When she comes around.
The faint murmur of voices dragged my mind off the mysterious aftershave and onto my current predicament again. Strange room. Pain. Right. At least my joints didn't hurt quite as much as when I first regained consciousness. I still wanted to curl into a ball and pray for sleep, but I could push through it. I always did. I cracked my eyes open, half afraid I'd find myself in some dingy man cave with weeks-old takeaway and topless posters plastered all over the walls. Instead, a pair of green eyes stared down at me beneath furrowed brows. Chiseled cheekbones, sculpted mouth, an annoyingly attractive flop of dark hair. Asher.
You're awake.
The furrow smoothed, though his eyes remained worried.
How are you feeling?
Like I got hit by a truck that reversed and ran me over again. My response scratched its way up my throat. So, I feel great. Asher snorted.
Your sarcasm is intact, so it can't be that bad.
Nevertheless, he scanned me with the brisk thoroughness of someone who needed to confirm the other was all right without making a big production out of it. There was nothing remotely sexual about it, but my skin prickled with awareness anyway. To distract myself from his scrutiny, I glanced around the room. Whoever he'd been talking to was gone, leaving us alone in the school's infirmary. No wonder I hadn't recognized it by scent alone. I rarely came here, preferring to deal with my flare-ups alone.
You want to tell me what happened?
Asher's gaze met mine again.
You took quite the fall back there.
He sounded both concerned and commanding, a rare combo that made warmth curl low inside me. Still, I defaulted to an excuse instead of the truth. I forgot to eat lunch and got dizzy. I didn't like talking about my chronic pain. It often made people uncomfortable, which made me uncomfortable. They were sympathetic, of course, but there was always a beat of pity, an unspoken poor you that had me biting my tongue.
That wasn't dizziness. You were in pain.
Ash's eyes darkened.
Are you still in pain?
A rough edge ran beneath his voice, and I had to swallow to ease my suddenly dry throat. A little. A lot. Not enough to pass out again, but enough that the prospect of getting up seemed more daunting than climbing Mount Everest. He cursed under his breath.
Let me get the nurse.
No! I grabbed his arm before he could leave. There's nothing she can do. I just have to wait for it to pass. Anything that required asking other people for help made me squirrely, which was why I'd had such a difficult time coping after my accident. The transition from fully self-sufficient to reliant on others was a difficult one to endure. Ash's features sharpened.
Wait for what to pass?
My flare-up. I don't get them often anymore, but when I do, they can be debilitating. Resignation pulled the truth out of me. If we were going to spend the summer together, I might as well tell him, especially since my flare-ups were growing in frequency. It was one thing to hide it from my other, younger students. It was another trying to conceal it from a professional athlete who understood the body's tales as much as I did. I got into a car accident 5 years ago, I said. Asher went deathly still, his intake of breath the only sign of life as I continued my story. I was on my way to a performance when the other person ran a red light and collided with the taxi I was in. I woke up in the hospital with a punctured lung, dislocated hip, and a dozen other issues. That was the end of my career and the start of this. I gestured at myself. The doctor said my chronic pain is a result of nerve damage. The piercing pain had dulled into a general tenderness, but my recounting of that night caused a different kind of ache to blossom. I hadn't told anyone about the accident since Karina. It had made waves when it happened, but that was long enough ago that no one outside the ballet world would remember. Car accidents happened every day. They weren't memorable unless you knew someone personally involved. It was funny how a life-changing moment for one person was nothing more than a blip on the news for someone else.
Is there anything I can do to help?
Asher didn't tell me how sorry he was or pry for more details. He simply focused on me, with those steady, sympathetic eyes, and the ache behind my ribcage thickened into an unidentifiable emotion. Sure, I managed a wan smile. Tell me how you got us here. My studio was on the first floor, the infirmary was on the fourth, and the lift was currently under maintenance.
I carried you.
He answered so matter-of-factly it took a minute for his words to sink in. You carried me up 3 flights of stairs. Broad shoulders lifted in a shrug.
It was my strength training for the day.
A vague recollection of strong arms and pounding footsteps floated through my brain but vanished as quickly as it surfaced. I couldn't tell if it was an actual memory or a fantasy brought about by his words. Either way, it made the room feel just a little bit less cold. Wow, I'm good at my job, I said with a small laugh. Unconscious and I still made you work.
You're a tough taskmaster.
Ash's mouth tipped up before softening again.
If it still hurts, I can ask the nurse for a heating pad or pain meds.
The curl of warmth returned, spreading from my stomach and down my legs to my toes. I shook my head. I just want to go home. Pilates, sleep, and a warm bath were my go-tos for managing flare-ups, and the infirmary's cot wasn't a great place for any of those things. Normally, I would have never confessed something so vulnerable out loud. I followed a chin-up, suck-it-up philosophy, but fatigue had set in, loosening my inhibitions, and Asher's presence was oddly comforting.
We can make that happen.
Ash's gaze dipped, and to my horror, I realized I'd been holding on to him this entire time. I dropped his arm immediately, fire crawling up the back of my neck. Why didn't he say anything earlier? My palm tingled in the absence of his warmth, and I wiped it against the side of my leg, hoping that would help. It didn't. It only succeeded in aggravating the tenderness of my muscles. I winced. Smart move, Scarlet. Truly Mensa-worthy. A brief frown touched Ash's face before he looked away.
A warning, though,
he said.
The press is back. The guy I was chasing earlier? He was a young pap disguised as a prospective student. That was how he got in.
My chest swam with disbelief. Seriously? That was unhinged. What story could they sell with photos of Asher at RAB anyway? Him cross-training at a dance studio wasn't scandalous in any way. I was all for people making a living how they could, but I firmly believed paparazzi deserved a special place in hell next to the telemarketers and corrupt politicians. That's going to be a problem, I said. I didn't want to worry about candid pictures of me ending up in some sleazy tabloid every time I came to work. Asher was their target, but as his trainer, I had a high likelihood of getting caught in the crossfire.
I agree, but I've been thinking about it since our first run-in with them. And I might have a solution,
Asher said.
Can you send me a list of everything we need for training later? Equipment, supplies, room dimensions, everything.
Why?
Trust me.
I must have looked skeptical because a small smile quirked at the corner of his lips.
It'll be a surprise. The paps will continue to be an issue because they know where I'll be every other day. We have to throw them off our scent. Trust me.
He repeated.
I know what I'm doing.
I didn't have the energy to argue. I also didn't make a habit of trusting anyone outside my family and Karina, but in that moment, it was hard to remember why I should keep Asher at arm's length. He wasn't my brother's nemesis or my trainee. He was the person who'd carried me up 3 flights of stairs, stayed with me until I regained consciousness, and didn't make me feel like an object of pity when I told him about my accident. And that's exactly why he's dangerous.
Chapter 8. Asher. I developed a new mantra over the next 2 weeks. Keep it professional and stop thinking about her. It was a bit long for a mantra, but it was smart, clear, and actionable. I was quite proud of it. Unfortunately, it also proved that mantras were bullshit because 14 days later, Scarlet still haunted my thoughts like a smart-mouthed, entirely too beautiful ghost. When I woke up, I anticipated our next session together. When I got behind the wheel, I remember the night I drove her home in the rain. When I entered her studio, I relived my sheer panic at seeing her collapse and my utter relief when she woke up. Despite what I told her, I dropped by RAB that day to discuss the paparazzi issue with Lavinia. That was it. And yet my feet had steered me to her studio instead of the director's office, and my determination to keep her at arm's length had snapped the second I saw her in pain. I was convinced we were the subjects of some universal conspiracy at this point. I just couldn't prove it.
Are you listening to me?
My father's irritation pierced through my unwanted thoughts. I leaned back in my chair and refocused on his frown. We sat opposite each other at my childhood dining table, which still bore traces of the permanent marker stick figures I doodled of famous footballers when I was a kid. Despite my best efforts to move my parents to a newer, bigger place, they'd insisted on staying at their old split level in southwest Holchester. Luckily, they'd consented to a new security system after several run-ins with the press, but I was still uneasy about how accessible they were to anyone with an internet connection and the barest modicum of sleuthing skills. "I'm listening," I said, even though I tuned him out 20 minutes ago. We always talked about the same things, what I did wrong in my last match and how I could improve for the next one. My father watched more replays of my matches than coach, which was saying something.
"You lacked focus the entire season," he said. "Where was the cohesion? Where was the fire?"
"Oh, come off it, Ron,"
my mother said from her spot by the counter. She picked up 2 mugs of tea and set them on the table, casting a glare at my father along the way.
"I think he played wonderfully. You were the league's highest scorer of the season, weren't you, darling?"
My father cut me off before I could respond.
"Highest scorer, yet no trophy!"
The weathered planes of his face drew deeper into a scowl.
"Should have stuck to Holchester like I told you. You know I can barely show my face at the pub these days. We've always been a red and white household. Then you had to go and do this!"
He gestured at the newspaper splayed open on the table. A photo of me, clearly devastated after the Holchester match, took up half the first page of the sports section. Not only had I lost, but but I was wearing Blackcastle's signature purple and white. If my father was the head of the Holchester United Church, I was its greatest heretic. You know why I did it. I was tired of rehashing the same thing over and over again. Every time I visited, my father inevitably brought up my traitorous transfer to Holchester's biggest rival, which was why I rarely came home anymore. I was only here this weekend because of Teddy's birthday.
Money, Frank Armstrong, and a bloody loss on your record. How's that treating you?
My father made a disgusted noise. Money and working with Frank Armstrong. They were the reasons I gave him, but they weren't the only reasons. I'd never tell him what the third was, though. When I didn't respond, he shoved his chair back and stormed off, his tea forgotten.
Don't take what he says to heart.
My mother patted my shoulder.
You know how fanatical he is about that team. It'll take time, but he'll get over it.
He'd had half a year to get over it. Then again, he'd refused to talk to me for a month after he found out about the transfer. So the fact we were on speaking terms at all was an improvement. I'm heading out to see Teddy. I stood and placed my half-empty mug in the sink. I'll be back in time for dinner. Her face softened.
Okay. Don't be too hard on yourself, okay? All this, the matches, the press, the pressure, it's temporary. It doesn't define you.
I kept my smile even as my gut clenched. She meant what she said in a comforting way, but the temporary nature of my career was the reason why I pushed myself so hard. I only had a set number of years to achieve everything I wanted, and that was assuming I didn't suffer an injury that would cut the number down further. Besides, she was wrong. Football did define me. It was the only thing I'd ever excelled at. What would I be without it? Nothing. However, I didn't voice any of those thoughts as I kissed her on the cheek and left. My mother dealt with enough problems in her job as a teacher. I didn't want to add mine to the heap. My parents lived in a quiet part of Holchester, so there was rarely traffic, and it took me less than 10 minutes to reach Teddy. The ground smelled like damp earth and moss. Sunlight peeked through spindly branches and bursts of flowers added color to the otherwise staid landscape. Workers kept the place well tended. There was only so much cheer one could expect in a cemetery. I trod the familiar path to Teddy's resting site. Guilt wormed through my chest when I saw how bare it looked. His mother had died years ago, and his father had remarried and moved across the country. I was the only person who visited regularly anymore. Even so, my visits had dwindled since I moved to London. I placed a birthday card on my best friend's grave and sat there until sunset beckoned. Besides my mother, Teddy was the only person who remembered me as Asher before I became Asher Donovan. Sometimes I needed that reminder too.
Scarlet, if you're dragging me to your secret lair so you can butcher me, I'm going to be deeply upset, I said. I have plans to see a West End show tonight.
It's alarming that that was the first thought that popped into your head, but no, I'm not dragging you to my secret lair. All my lairs are public.
Cute. I glanced at our driver and tried not to calculate the million different ways we could die if he sped up, slowed down, or took the wrong turn. It's fine. You'll be fine. Seriously, where are we going? Where's the new studio?
You'll find out soon enough.
Asher sat next to me in the back seat, his posture relaxed and indifferent compared to my white knuckles and rigid back. He'd asked me to meet him down the road from RAB today so we could avoid the paparazzi, who is still camped out near the school grounds every day hoping for a money pick of Asher. When I'd shown up, too curious about his paparazzi solution, to stay away, I'd been greeted by an armored Range Rover, a black-suited man the size of the Hulk, and Asher.
I'm not driving today. Earl is,
he'd said, nodding at the Hulk 2.0.
We're going to our new studio.
I should have insisted he tell me where the studio was before I reluctantly climbed into the car. But again, curiosity got the better of me. Well, that and Asher's reassurance that Earl was the safest, most skilled driver in the London metro area. Apparently, he'd been a chauffeur for Downing Street for 20 years, followed by a stint with an extremely wealthy, extremely reclusive billionaire. I still hated getting into cars with strangers, but I believed Asher, and he was right. Earl had been great so far.
Which West End show are you seeing tonight?
Asher asked. I named a new musical that had been garnering rave reviews.
Friday Night Date. Should be a fun time,
he said. I threw a sharp glance in his direction. He was the picture of carelessness, his profile outlined in sunlit gold against the window, but an edge ran beneath his otherwise casual drawl. Our relationship the past 3 weeks had been perfectly cordial. He showed up to the studio, we trained, he left. Still charming, but absent the flirtatiousness of our early encounters. It was easy, simple, professional. Exactly what I asked for. Yes. For some reason, I declined to mention that Karina was my hot Friday night date. It should be very fun. A muscle ticked in Ash's jaw before his expression smoothed.
Good.
Good. The tenseness of his response ran the length of my spine, followed by a strange thrill. He'd uttered one word and my mind was tearing it apart, searching for hidden meanings that didn't exist. Like, whether that was jealousy behind his good or sincerity. I crossed and uncrossed my legs, restless amidst the mushrooming silence. Ash's gaze flicked down before sliding toward the window again. Clearly, today's abrupt change of plans had addled my brain if I was worrying over what he thought about my date. Why didn't you tell him you were going with Karina instead of some hypothetical guy you met on an overrated dating app? Because it's none of his business. Sure, that's why. Shut up. Earl turned the corner, and my oh-so-delightful conversation with myself died a quick death. I wasn't a stranger to luxury. Vincent lived in a multi-million-pound mansion that once belonged to a famous rock star, and during my career prime, I'd attended parties at venues that would make even the most jaded jaws drop. But the estate before me? Wow. It boasted the usual features one would expect from a house in one of the poshest neighborhoods outside London. Intimidating iron gates, marble fountains, a sprawling green lawn. That wasn't what made it exceptional. What made it exceptional was how unexpected it was. I would have pictured Ash's house, and I was almost positive this was Ash's house, as some modern monstrosity made of glass, concrete, and no soul, per the standard bachelor pad design package. Instead, three stories of pale stone soared over the perfectly manicured grounds. Its walls thick with ivy, and its arched windows bright beneath the sunlight. A marble swan adorned the fountain, anchoring a circular drive, and everywhere I looked, flowers flourished in all their summertime glory. Peonies, roses, geraniums. A snort of laughter escaped when I noticed a pair of hedges sculpted into the shape of a football and a championship trophy, respectively. They were so obviously satire that I could only shake my head. Subtle, I said as Earl parked in the drive and we exited the car. If you added your squad number, you'd have the trifecta on your lawn.
That's a great suggestion,
Asher said with all seriousness.
I'll call my landscaper and let him know.
Will you pay me a consulting fee for the idea?
Only if you take it in the form of pizza and ice cream.
Veggie and pistachio?
Pepperoni and Rocky Road.
Deal. A smile tugged on Asher's mouth. Our earlier awkwardness dissolved, replaced with a heady new tension. It crawled beneath my skin and spurred my pulse into a gallop. I'd always prided myself on my ability to think clearly. When my parents divorced, I'd drawn up a 30-point logistical plan of action for all four members of our household. When a pipe burst last year, flooding my flat and destroying half my belongings, I'd calmly turned off the main water supply, opened the faucets to drain any remaining cold water, and called the plumber. And when I found out I'd never dance professionally again, I hadn't shed a single tear. Devastation was a private thing, to be confined within the walls of my mind and soul. So no, I wasn't prone to emotion-led decisions. I kept my thoughts as rational as possible. But sometimes, when I was around Asher, I found it hard to think much at all. My mind blurred around the edges. I was roasting in my leotard and tights. I couldn't tell whether that was because of the weather or... Earl cleared his throat. The sound had the same effect as dumping ice water over a roaring fire. My mental haze vanished, and Asher and I took a simultaneous step away from each other. Earl didn't say a word, but I swore I saw a smirk slip across his mouth.
Let's go inside.
Asher turned his back to me and unlocked the front door.
It's too hot out here.
A hush blanketed us again during our walk through his house. Pizza and ice cream. Not the diet I'd expect from a top footballer, I said. I was beating a dead horse at this point, but I needed to feel the silence.
I don't make a habit of it.
Asher's arm grazed mine as we turned the corner.
But sometimes I'm in the mood for something sweet.
A faint roughness ran beneath his words, turning what should have been an innocent response into anything but. Heat warmed the back of my neck. A brief image of Asher enjoying something sweet flashed through my mind before I crushed it with a determined fist. I took another, deliberate step away from him as we walked deeper into the house. It didn't stop the bolt of awareness streaking through my blood, but at least I was actively fighting back against my hormones. Those traitors. I could never trust them. Asher gave me an abbreviated tour of the mansion, which was even larger than it looked from the outside. Original Picassos hung next to framed shirts signed by retired football legends. A state-of-the-art entertainment center faced a display case filled with trophies, medals, and sentimental items like the boots he wore in his first-ever Premier League match. A 40-person screening room with a genuine concession stand occupied the same hall as an indoor bowling alley, and natural light spilled through dozens of giant windows overlooking the grounds. It straddled that perfect line between cozy and luxurious, and I loved it.
The basement is dedicated to all things fitness. It's actually level with the lower tier of the back garden. The first floor of the house leads to the main tier, so there's plenty of light.
Asher said, leading me down the stairs.
The sauna, steam room, and indoor pool are to the left. Gym and massage room are to the right.
So you basically have an at-home spa. I twisted my neck to get a better look at the infrared sauna. I love a personal sauna. They helped a lot with my pain.
Basically.
We stopped it in front of a closed door.
You ready to see the latest addition to Spa Donovan?
I suppose. I feigned a yawn to mask my curiosity. Hopefully the inside is more inspired than the name. Asher rewarded me with a quick grin.
Hey, that's why I'm a footballer, not a hospitality mogul. That being said...
He opened the door with a flourish.
Welcome to our new training center.
I didn't know what I'd expected. A standard room with mirrors, maybe, or grey concrete in a bar. I should have known better. Asher Donovan didn't do things halfway. Instead of a basic workout area, I walked into a full-blown professional ballet studio. Correction, it wasn't a ballet studio, it was the ballet studio. As in the ballet studio of my dreams, only even better. RAB hadn't spared any expense with its facilities, but this was everything I'd dreamed of. A gleaming expanse of hardwood stretched across the vast space, its surface so polished it appeared to undulate with sunlight. It was a sprung floor, which meant it was designed to offer optimal shock absorption and minimize the stress on bones and joints. Golden warmth poured through a wall of windows that opened onto an attached outdoor gym, and a double row of bars lined the perimeter of the room. They appeared to have been custom-built to accommodate for my and Asher's different heights. A black Steinway piano and state-of-the-art sound system dominated one corner, while potted plants added a welcome pop of greenery throughout the studio. The floor-to-ceiling mirrors reflected my shock back at me.
I had it built according to the list you gave me about our training essentials, but I added a few flourishes.
Asher nodded at the outdoor gym.
If I missed anything, let me know.
How did you? I spun slowly, taking in the details that elevated the studio from professional to exquisite. The line paintings of dancers by famed artist Marina Escrol, the unobtrusive camera setup that would allow us to film our sessions and monitor progress over time, the adaptive smart home resistance training system. He hadn't missed a single thing. It's only been 3 weeks.
Money is a great motivator.
Mischief sparked in Asher's eyes.
I may also have added VIP season tickets for the entire crew as an incentive if they got it done in under a month.
Of course the contractors were football fans. However, as much as I love the studio and newfound privacy, there was one problem. It took us almost an hour to get here by car, I pointed out. The tube doesn't run here, which means I'd have to take a cab and we meet three times a week. That's not sustainable. My schedule didn't leave room for such a long commute. I had other classes I needed to teach.
You don't have to take the tube. Earl will be your chauffeur,
Asha said.
I had him drive us today so you can get a sense of his style. If you're comfortable with him, I'll cover the costs since I'm the reason we're in this predicament in the first place.
He shrugged.
The car is basically a tank, so you don't have to worry about safety either.
A knot of emotion formed in my throat. The most unexpected thing I'd encountered today wasn't our impromptu trip to Asha's house or the contents of the new studio. It was his thoughtfulness. Careful. Remember what happened the last time you got sucked in by a handsome face and thoughtfulness. And my schedule? I asked. I have a class right before our sessions.
I'm fine pushing our sessions back, and I'm sure Lavinia won't object to a schedule change.
Our sessions already took place late in the afternoon. If we pushed them back any further, they'd veer dangerously close to evening time. Being alone in a beautiful private studio with Asha after the sunset? Apprehension fluttered through my body like 1,000 tiny butterflies. Absolutely not. Fine. I turned to retrieve a resistance band from its rack. The warmth from Asha's gaze burned between my shoulder blades, and the flutters multiplied into an unruly swarm. Let's get started, shall we? We've wasted enough time.
Chapter 9. Asha. A deal.
I'm bored.
A deal.
New bet. 100 quid says Donovan gets caught in another scandal by summer's end.
What do you mean, another scandal? I feel targeted. A deal.
Remember what happened with your Lambo?
That wasn't a scandal, that was a tragedy. A deal.
A tragic scandal. I think they finally rebuilt that wall you destroyed.
It was overdue for a renovation anyway, I did them a favor. A deal.
Ask the National Historic Society if they agree.
Noah. Stop texting me. Noah. I went to the gym and came back to 86 new messages. A deal.
This is a group chat. Texting is literally the point.
Noah Wilson left the conversation. Adil Chakir added Noah Wilson to the conversation. Noah.
I'm blocking you.
Adil.
That's very unnice, single dad of you. You have an image to protect, you know.
Adil.
Noah.
Adil.